إن الإسلام بدأ غريبا وسيعود غريبا كما بدأ، فطوبى للغرباء.
الرحمن علم القرآن، خلق الإنسان، علمه البيان، الشمس والقمر بحسبان، والنجم والشجر يسجدان، والسماء رفعها ووضع الميزان، ألا تطغوا في الميزان، وأقيموا الوزن بالقسط ولا تخسروا الميزان، والأرض وضعها للأنام، فيها فاكهة والنخل ذات الأكمام، والحب ذو العصف والريحان، فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Here we are again with episode 6 part 2, or is that episode 7?
Episode 6 part 2.
Episode 6 part 2, Strangers Podcast, where we talk about our experiences as Muslims living in the West. Bro, I feel like I got it down packed now.
Bro. You memorized it or
something. Yeah, the first few episodes, wallahi, like I had to actually go over it, you know? Mm. Now it comes like water, bro. Wow. That's what being a professional podcaster is like. If you guys watched the last episode, we were discussing his experience at Mecca.
The story is a little bit too long, but you know, hopefully.
There's some fire stories. I'm actually glad I saved it for this episode, and I didn't ask you while you were out there, because some of the Snapchats make a lot of sense now, and I had a good laugh, you know, and a lot of it was deep. Mashallah, I felt like your umrah was priceless.
Yeah. Amazing.
Allah. But yeah, we're not done. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start by asking, what was your most memorable moment in Mecca?
Most memorable moment, huh? Let me see. I'm not going to lie. You know what probably was? The 27th night.
27th odd night? Wow.
27th night. Okay. Yeah. That's the night that most people believe is Laylatul Qadr, but Allahu A'lam. Allahu A'lam. I don't know how it was for you guys here. Do you remember the 27th night?
27th night, the masjids were packed. The night was very calm.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure it rained on the day of, I think, I'm not 100% sure. But I just know the skies were clear. Like it was like most 27th, you know, nights that we experience. Or you feel, you know, when you feel like the vibe changes?
The night, yeah.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah, you know. SubhanAllah. I don't know. For me, I don't know, the last 10 nights, you know the crazy part? I don't know if it's specifically being in Mecca or being near the Haram, but I didn't get the chance to really look at the signs. Mm. So for me, it was just more like, let me just do the ibadah. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, you know, as long as I do something every night, mm-hmm. I'm bound to catch it.
Yeah.
But the 27th night, bro, our 27th night didn't even start at nighttime. It started in the daytime.
Really?
Okay, because the thing is, we knew it was probably going to get hectic to try to get into
the dome.
The haram. Not even the dome, because the dome, you can't get in there unless you're wearing a haram.
Yeah.
So we just wanted a nice spot. There's one spot that we always went to, and it's hard to get in, but once you get in, it has some crazy AC to the point where you need a blanket. That's how bad it is.
Okay.
But the nice thing about that spot is on the first floor, it has AC. And one thing that's not mentioned enough, I think, about people that go to Umrah or visit Mecca and Medina, bro, there's some crazy bugs.
Oh.
There's some crazy bugs, bro. There's like these big black beetles. They're nasty, bro.
I don't do
big
bugs.
Beetles.
I don't do too well with bugs.
And there's these big things. I think they're like locusts and stuff, bro. Huge. And they fly and everything.
On you or like
on you, bro? On you. This one guy had that one black beetle. Imagine, like, I'm just praying beside him, and I just see him do this. And he's wearing a thobe that has like a cuff on it, right? Mm-hmm. So me, I'm wondering, I'm like, why is he holding his arm like that? So at the end of the prayer, he's like, brother, can you open the button for me? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like, what's going on? You know, like, so I open the button for him. He goes like this, he unfolds it. There's a big bug.
Oh.
A huge, those black beetles. And then he's like, yeah, I wasn't trying to kill it.
Wow.
That's crazy. If I felt that, bro, I might have left my salon. I'm not going to lie. I'm not built like that. But wallahi, bro, they're everywhere. And the thing is, if you're higher up, they're most likely there. But on that first floor where it was cold, most of the times that they weren't there. Mm-hmm. But wallahi, I'll show you a video. They're actually huge.
Oh my
huge.
Gosh.
It's disgusting. So that spot was nice because it was very cold. And there's barely any bugs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to get in. You have to get there early. So we left between Duhur and Asr. That's how early we left to be there for the 27th night.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine we get to the part where I said there's a parking lot, right? Remember how where the taxis drop you off?
Yeah.
And I mentioned in the previous video where the guards basically blocked it off.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the Isha prayer was done, they let us in.
Mm-hmm.
So that part was already blocked off before Asr time. This is like 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
That's how full it already was before we even got there. So it was probably like 2:30, closer to 3. And then we were there it was very hot. It's like plus 40. We're literally cooking at that point.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get in, but the whole place is blocked off. And then we're slowly able to like get in. And then, but it is, everyone's trying to go at the same time. So you're barely moving. And then the adhan for Asr goes off.
Mm-hmm.
So after the adhan goes off, people are still trying to like slowly squeeze in. But imagine we're barely moving forward, right?
Yeah.
So this is all before we even get to inside the haram. Mm-hmm. So it's like we're past the parking lot. Now we're in the area. We're trying to get into our spot. We're trying to get to the spot we normally go to.
Yeah.
So now it's hot. It's getting cramped and everything. And then the iqama for Asr goes off.
Okay.
So everyone just drops their stuff and starts praying. So we ended up praying Asr. And as soon as we finished Asr, you got to get to the spot. They keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
So the first stage basically was the parking lot area. So imagine this. So right now it's me, Abdishkur, Mukhtar, Bilal. Basically a four-man.
Yeah.
We're literally a squad and we're trying to make it to the end. So for us to get to that location, bro, I'm not going to lie, there's some crazy obstacles for us to get there. There's a way you can go straight that way and then you can go left.
Mm-hmm.
And then we wanted to go left because that's a shortcut to where we normally pray.
Yeah.
And that part was barricaded very well and they had three guards there.
Yeah.
And then the other side had like two guards. But no one really wanted to go there because it was already all full.
Mm-hmm.
So now imagine everyone's trying to go to the left. And the guy to the left is telling the guard to let people get in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And that guard, so there's different type of guards. There's the guards that wear the blue, they have like a blue getup.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them have like a red hat.
Yeah.
For us, one of the guys from Toronto, he used to call the ones the blue, the grunts. You know, he's like, those are the grunts. So one of the guys was trying to tell another one, he's like, yo, let them through. And the guy was basically like, no, you know, like, you don't call the shots. I'm not going to listen to you until I hear from like higher ups.
Yeah.
So we were all stuck in the middle. The guy's trying to tell us, go over there, haram, go over there. But there's nowhere to go. So we're just standing there, bro. Mine is like plus 40. And we're like, yo, how are you going to get through? But we're just like, you know what? Eventually, these guys are going to break.
Yeah.
So one guy took off his hat, like was sweating. He's like, yo, I need a sub. He got another guard to come in for him. Mm-hmm. And he was sitting in the small little hut. So we're all just standing there. And we're like, you know what? We're not going to do anything crazy. We're going to wait for someone to do something crazy.
And then
you go
join.
Through. That's the way you remove it, you know? Yeah. So imagine one of the guards left his post. I don't know. I felt like he had enough. You know, it was getting to his head. He moved. Boom. People started going under. And then the one on top was like, haram, haram, guys, stop. And I looked at Mukhtar and Bilal Asur. I'm like, yo, this is our only opportunity.
Yeah.
We got to go. So Allah, we went under. And then this one guy with the red hat, this guy comes, puts his arms like this. He thinks he can hold everyone back. It's, right? Imagine a bunch of people are just running. Boom, 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 boom. And as this guy's trying to hold them back, well, put him on his back. Wallah.
No.
Put him on his back. He fell to the ground. And then, bro, he got up and he just tackled anyone he could tackle to the wall.
Yeah.
And as we're, and that's when we're trying to come under. And then we just see literally a lineup of like 20 of those red hat guards running towards, like trying to stop people. And we're like, yo, we gotta get through, get through, get through. We got through and we're like, yo, move as if like we've been here. Then we went under and then we started walking like in normal pace.
Like a movie.
And wallahi, somehow we're like, we look back, everybody made it through. Alhamdulillah. And then wallahi, and then after we got through, I lost one of my shoes. Came off.
Oh, I thought you were going to see your garment.
No. At this point, we're just wearing regular though. Okay. So imagine wearing Crocs, and then one of them fell out. And it's too many people. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to grab it. I'm whatever, charging. You know, I'm going to be on with one shoe. And then Mukhtar's like, don't worry, I got you. But alhamdulillah, we got through. We were able to, that was like the last spot before we got to the area we wanted to pray in. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we had to split up. We're in the same area to pray, but we had to split up to find a spot to pray in. And imagine, bro, that's from Asr time. And all we wanted to do was be there for Tarawih and Tahajjud.
That's crazy.
So we were there basically that whole time from Asr to Fajr, basically.
So like, where does your food come in? Like, do they bring it to you? Like,
thing is, you have to sacrifice food. A lot of times in the last 10 nights, bro, they bring you dates.
Yeah.
They bring you dates and they bring you bread. And they bring you like some tea and Zamzam water. That's what you're living off of, bro. That's dates crazy. And Zamzam.
That's crazy.
The thing is, we packed, we'd have like a bag and try to pack stuff. And sometimes we pack like little croissants, stuff like that. But there's no, imagine we have to get there before Asr time.
Yeah, so you don't have time.
You can't really buy food that early.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stores are closed. So, like, to be honest, you gotta log off food for a little bit.
Oh my gosh.
And then just hope like the next day that you're gonna survive. But you know, it's the last 10 nights and you're in Mecca. So, you know, you have to do, like, it's a grind, you know, it's, and we're here for ibadah. So we were trying to do our best.
Wow.
That's the whole obstacle just to get to what actually happened on the 27th night. So the 27th night for the Tarawih prayer, that's the prayer that I was talking about. Where Dosri was leading and he read Surah Qaf.
Mm.
And when he led that, bro, like I have like a snippet of it posted on IG and TikTok. And subhanAllah, bro, it was so emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he was just reading the verses was so deep.
I seen a little bit of it, Allah. That was beautiful. Bro,
I can't explain like the way he puts meaning behind the verses. Like, you know, those reciters that when they read, you really feel that the verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed.
Mm-hmm.
And wallah, bro, I felt that prayer was very emotional. And then the tahajjud prayer was Sudais's long dua.
Oh.
So imagine, and the 27th night, they recite the fourth juz, which is Ar-Rahman, Waqi'ah, An-Najm, which is like one of my favorite juz, if not my favorite.
Yeah.
And Sudais ended it off with like an amazing, amazing dua.
Mm-hmm.
Wallahi, bro, by the end of that day, you can imagine, we can't feel our legs.
Wow.
You can't feel our legs. You know, and we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted it from us. But man, that day was probably the most memorable day.
Wow.
Like, we had to go through all these obstacles, unfortunately, to get to the spot. But we knew once we made it in the masjid and we got to our spots, we're good, you know?
Would you say that was the hardest day of all of them, or...?
Nah, I still think the hardest deal was second Umrah, bro.
Second Umrah?
The second Umrah was too much.
Wow.
That was the hardest day. But the 27th night was actually, I don't even know if the second Umrah was the hardest day. There was one day, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Bill's nose was the craziest day for me. So it was the first of the last 10 nights.
Yeah.
So it was the 21st night and kind of a similar situation. We wanted to get to the Haram early. So that day was plus like 41, 42. There was crazy wind. So there's hot air blowing in your face, yeah. And at the same time, like sun is getting in your eyes. And we get there around the same time, a little bit before Asr. But the problem was, we wanted to go to, I wanted to pray on the second floor where you could see the Kaaba. Because I'm like, you know what, I want to be in that area. Once we got there, it was too crowded. And it's basically, by the time Asr came, we found ourselves outside of, we weren't inside the masjid. Like we were inside the Haram area, but we were outside. Like the sun was hitting us. Yeah. So we prayed Asr outside. It was very hot. Well, it was probably the hottest day of Ramadan. And it was just very difficult. Or like you would see a lot of people, like this one lady, I saw her like literally just holding her head like this. Like that's how bad it was. Yeah. Everywhere you would want to go, the guards would tell you, you can't go here. You can't go here. Imagine you walk this way, you can't go here. You walk that way, you can't go here. So then, wallahi, bro, I'm like, we're stuck in the middle. Mm-hmm. Now we're stuck in the middle. And I'm just like, bro, I think there's an agenda. They want to kill people today. That's what I was going through my head. I thought they wanted to have some dead bodies today.
Oh my gosh.
Because they were just sending everyone, like there's nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I just wanted to go home. Mm-hmm. Wallahi, like I said, I'm logging off the day in the Haram today. I want to just go home. It's too hot. But I couldn't even go home. Because everywhere you tried to go, they blocked it off. Mm-hmm. And then it got to the point where like we're on the other side, basically opposite side of where our house is or where our hotel is. And then we saw some taxis and then we asked the taxis to take us there. And then they said they're going to Jeddah, which is like, I told you, like almost 2 hours away. Wallahi, I was so desperate. I told Bilal, let's go to Jeddah. That's how bad it was. I was literally about to break my fast. I've never been in a position where I wanted to punch someone. Like imagine it's so hot, you're so hungry, you're sweating, your legs are tired, carrying a big backpack, and there's nowhere to go. You can't even like, there's no shade, there's no water, I'm literally dying.
Yeah.
I was literally willing to go to Jeddah, hop on a taxi, pay whatever, and then come back to Mecca later. Like I was gonna figure it out.
Yeah.
And then Bilal's like, nah, don't do it. But he had a little bit more energy than me because the day before, he stayed behind.
He did, yeah.
So, alhamdulillah, somehow he got a little bit of strength. We walked around and then we got home. Imagine I left the house at 2:30 and we came back to the hotel at 5:30. So 3 hours, did nothing but stay outside in the heat.
Wow.
Then, wallah, that day I just locked it off. And I was just like, you know what? Today I'm not going back to the Haram. I just prayed in the local Musalla. Mm. Wallahi, that was probably the most difficult day for me. I've never felt that, like something like that before. And that's where you really take in. Remember how I mentioned about the whole Battle of Badr thing?
Yeah.
That was 3 hours for me. I was dead. And the Sahabas were in battle during the month of Ramadan.
Wow.
SubhanAllah. Like it's
Wallahi, opened your eyes.
We're not built the same. Like they're a different breed, you know. Allah I'll be pleased with them. Well, like that was definitely the toughest day for me.
Wow,
100%. That was the toughest day.
Me, if I was there, when I get like you know overwhelmed in the heat and I'm starving, like my head goes left. Wallah, I can't even think straight. You know, but you know it's good that you had like bills with you. You know, to like kind of like be your ground. Yeah. You know.
But bro, I was ready to go to Jeddah, fam.
Wallahi, I mean,
I was ready to go.
I would have been passenger with you. I'm telling you, man. But alhamdulillah, man. Like at least your experience, you know, was all paying off.
Yeah. At the end of the day, for me, it's a story now, you know.
Yeah, bro. And I'm happy for you, Wallahi. Okay, I want to ask if you were to go back, what would you do differently? And I'm asking as someone that didn't go, you know, so like kind of like inform me,
yeah,
like your learning lessons, you know, what would you have done, you know, differently?
To be honest, wallahi, I had a great experience. Alhamdulillah, I went with a group, you know.
Yeah.
I know some people say it's better to go by yourself, but personally, I feel like going with a group, the nice thing is you have no worries.
Mm-hmm.
Like everything is taken care of for you. It might be a little bit more expensive. It might not be customize the way you want it to be, But at the same time, like, you're taken care of. You feel like you have someone looking out for you. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you come by yourself, especially the first time, it's just you. Like, now, alhamdulillah, after I've been there, I don't think I need to go with a group. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? But also, the nice thing with the group is there's like a brotherhood that you're going to build with yeah. the people that are there with you, you know? Like,
wasn't your first few nights like in a hotel, weren't you like by yourself with a group of guys? Or
no, because even, yeah, the whole time in a hotel, I'm with three people that I don't know.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Shout out to Zach, shout out to Salman, and shout out to Ismail. Those are my guys.
Shout out to the guy.
You build lifelong bonds with these people, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, these are people that, you know, you've been Umrah with and that yeah. you were in the Holy Land with, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know, we pushed each other. Like, they pushed me and I pushed them. And alhamdulillah, you know, now we can say that, you know, we were there together. We mm-hmm. experienced Ramadan in Mecca and in Medina together. So alhamdulillah, bro, it's nice. You know, it comes with its perks. But obviously, I also saw some brothers that they customize their trips the way they want it. So for me, what I would have liked to stay in Medina longer.
Yeah.
So originally, our trip to Medina was only going to be 3-4 days. Mm-hmm. I ended up going a little bit earlier, so I was there for 6 days, but I still feel like I didn't get the full Medina experience. You know, like, I wish I could have stayed as long as I wanted to. Because mm-hmm. I came back at the end of April, and I knew some people that were staying till, like, yo, I'm staying till May 10th. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, man, that's like, I wish I could have done that. But that's where, like, doing it, having your own Umrah trip, you can build it the way you want it to. The only thing I would really change is I would try to stay in Medina for a little bit longer. Other than that, I don't know. I like my experience.
Would
you know?
Say for first timers, you'd recommend them going with the group?
Yeah, I would say so. And then, like, just to be on the safe side, like, you, yeah. Yeah, I think it's better. It's better to go with a group.
Because, yeah, I don't know. Being on your own is... I've never traveled by myself. But at the same time, like...
Yeah.
Just doing Umrah on your... That experience, like, there's a process
some
to
guys,
everything.
Some right? guys are built like that. Like, Trey. Like, this guy's just mad adventurous. Mashallah, you know? This yeah. guy's just like, yo... He lives life on edge. Like, yeah. I've seen this guy in the hotels, and he's like, yo... I don't know where I'm going tomorrow. I don't know. So it depends. It depends what type of person you are. Yeah. But for me, especially, I went with my mom, you know? So yeah. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go with the group. And, you know, alhamdulillah, I liked my experience there.
I think I'm planning on going, I think, next summer, inshallah, with my family. Inshallah, we're trying to do like inshallah. A family trip to Umrah. And if that doesn't work, then we're going to go with the Dixie guys. So one or the other. But inshallah, you know, if Allah has it planned,
may Allah,
I plan on doing it
for you guys.
Within a year or so.
Yeah.
Run me through your last day in Mecca. Like, how was it? The farewell. Yeah, the farewell. Leaving.
Well, leaving Mecca was tough. But let me see what happened. Yeah, so the last, remember how I mentioned that the last Umrah that I did was on the 28th night.
Mm-hmm.
So I left, I finished the 29th night in Mecca, and then the 29th day I left. So the day leading up to, or actually the evening before Eid, that's mm-hmm. when I left. But also one kind of cool thing is that, you know how like normally here, we wait, like we know by like 10 a.m. or by noon when Eid is.
Yeah.
The difference when you're there is you don't know it's Eid until Maghrib. So you're figuring out in real time.
Oh my
gosh. So you don't know if you're fasting the next day, and you don't know if there's Taraweeh tonight.
Oh my gosh.
So, and then the nice thing was, they also like, some of the brothers were like, they light the beam in Mecca. Because if you saw it, they pretty much, there's like a light that comes from like the top of the clock tower.
Oh, wow.
And then it's like glowing. And anywhere from like anyone who sees the clock tower, because it's very high, knows it's Eid from that.
Yo, I need to YouTube this.
So that's lit, bro. You should look it up. They said they light the beam.
Light the beam. Way too soon.
Way too soon. They did not light the beam in Sacramento. But, yeah, so going back, so I did that last Umrah the day before, and then before I left, so the 29th night was the night that they were doing the Khatm, which is like the ending they're finishing the Quran recitation in night prayer. So because of the experience on the 27th, for the 29th, we decided to go a lot earlier. Because the 29th was just as packed, if not more packed than the 27th. Because that's when they're finishing the Quran, basically, in the prayer. So Sudais, once again, was doing the dua on the 29th night. Alhamdulillah, we got to our spot. This time it wasn't too much of a hassle because we went there early.
Yeah.
But alhamdulillah, so prayed the 29th night there. Had a beautiful, emotional experience finishing the Quran and then having the dua. Once we finished the Quran, it was a very beautiful, beautiful dua. And then after that, you know, stayed till Fajr time because I knew it was going to be my last time there.
Yeah.
And I tried to go do a final tawaf on the second floor of the Haram area. But the 29th night is crazy. So 29th night is just as packed as the 27th, right? Yeah. So I tried to go and then, like, we were getting blocked off. Like, they always try to push people to the exits. So there wasn't really a way to get in. So I ended up not doing that tawaf, but I was able to get there for Fajr time. So I prayed Fajr on the second floor, directly facing the Kaaba. So I had like a view of the Kaaba, prayed Fajr there, alhamdulillah. And then I just really like took my time and just
let it soak in.
Yeah, I just everything was just hitting me. Like, you know, alhamdulillah, I'm here. I spent my time in Mecca. And I felt like, you know, like Ramadan. It's crazy because we didn't know it was Eid, but for me, it just felt like, you know, Ramadan is done before Eid was announced. So I felt like, you know, this is
your farewell.
Like the farewell, and it's the closing of the month of Ramadan. And at the same time, I'm just like very grateful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the opportunity. So I just kind of just stood there.
This is no doubt your favorite Ramadan, huh? Your best one.
Bro, by far.
Not even close.
By far. Wow. I sound like Kat right there. By far. I don't care my
voice. For sure.
But no, like, man, just looking at the Kaaba, that's when I really got the chance to really take it in, you know? And alhamdulillah, and I was thanking Allah, and I was making a lot of dua that Allah allows me to come back several times, bro. Thing is, once you visit Mecca and you visit Medina, now I understand why when people go one time, they go back multiple times and you're like, yo, how did this guy go?
Yeah.
He just went earlier this year. How did he go again?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a drug. You just get addicted. Yeah. Like you miss it. Like, wallahi, bro, when I came back here, it was actually depression. And I'm just thinking about the next time, inshallah, I'm going to get to go back. So that's all that's going to be on your mind. So when I was there, I was just really taking in everything and I was thanking Allah for the opportunity. And subhanAllah, bro, the whole time I was there too, I was sick. From the last 10 nights, I was sick. Until I came back, I was still sick. And still, I'm just like, you know what? I'm here for the first time. I'm present. Like, I wasn't going to let sickness stop me.
Yeah.
But alhamdulillah, you know, I'm like, you know what? Once I was content with leaving Masjid al-Haram, I walked out, I was emotional, went to my hotel, and right before that, I'm just like, because that was going to be my last day in Mecca, and I didn't really tour that much, I didn't really go to many places, so I'm like, you know what, I wanted to go check out Jabal al-Nur, and that's the mountain where the Quran was revealed. So in Jabal al-Nur, there's a little spot called Ghar Hira, and that's where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, or Jibreel alayhi salam came to him in a form of an angel and revealed the verses from and revealed the verses Iqra ismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. So Allah, bro, went to go climb that mountain. You know what's crazy? Now they have kind of like steps that are put up there.
Yeah.
And Allah, even with the steps, it's still kind of hard to climb. And wallahi, you just imagine how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to get up there.
Wow.
With no steps and nothing, bro. And it took us, I want to say, about like 45 minutes to get up there. And I went there. Alhamdulillah, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't too hot because I went there around like, I want to say 8 a.m., 8, 9 a.m. So it was like right before the peak of the heat. And alhamdulillah, once we got up, as you can see in like the video that I posted, like there was way too many people that were down there. So I'm just like, you know what? I went up there. I got to see. This is what I wanted to see. And wallahi, bro, you really, you see, like,
the stories like become reality. Like,
yeah, like for me at that point, it was just like everything that I heard from the seerah. Mm-hmm. Every time I heard this story, I'm like,
you put a picture to it.
This is where it happened.
Yeah,
you know, and it just really hit me, because for me, it's more so about the history, because the ulama and the scholars, they said that going there is not something that the Prophet ﷺ didn't go back there. No. The Sahabas didn't see it as a place that they go mm-hmm. and visit, because it doesn't have like significance in terms of worship.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, like there's a lot of people that are there, they pray there, and there's all sorts of bid'ah. Anyways, mm-hmm. just, you know, may Allah guide the ummah, but like mm-hmm. a lot of people are just ignorant and they don't know, right? So
I did see someone in your comments, and he was like explaining how people go there, like,
yeah,
in a state of worship,
yeah, because there's no actual act of worship that you're supposed to do there. You know, even visiting it is just for the sake of seeing it,
just to see.
Like Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said, "There's no harm in just visiting it, mm-hmm. but there's if someone feels like or." They think that they're going to gain something out of it, or like that an act of worship done there is going to do something for them, then, you know, it's not going to do that for you,
mm-hmm.
you know? But for me, it was just more so like soaking in the experience and really taking in, bro. I'm literally walking on the same mountain that the Prophet used to walk.
SubhanAllah.
I'm walking, and the whole time in Mecca, bro, you're walking the lands of the Sahabas.
Wow.
You're walking the land of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Wow.
Every day from our hotel to Mecca, we used to pass by the grave of Khadija radiallahu anha.
Wow.
So every time we passed by, we gave salam to Khadija. Bro, and that's what I'm saying. Like the people that we looked up to, the companions mm-hmm. and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was like, this is their world that mm-hmm. I'm living in.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the times have changed. You know, like there's tall buildings, yeah. buildings taller than the Kaaba,
mm-hmm.
Buildings taller than mountains. But still gave me a glimpse of what it was like for them, you know,
mm-hmm.
being in Mecca. And, you know, alhamdulillah, after that I came down. And bro, the walk down is a million times harder than going up.
Well, I always say walking down is tougher.
Bro, it's insane.
It's because you're holding your weight while you're going down.
But now imagine the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam running down after seeing Jibreel alayhi salam.
Wow.
Can you imagine that, bro?
That's scary. And no like, steps.
No steps. No steps. I can't, bro. I would have fallen a million times. And well, like, bro, it just goes to show you also like the strength of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then, yeah, bro. So that was like my last thing that I did in Mecca. Then came home, knocked out. Then, you know, after that, caught the train with my brother Abdul Shakur, mm-hmm. headed out for Medina. And, you know,
that's a story of its own.
That's a story for another day.
Wow. SubhanAllah. Yeah. That was very beautiful, bro.
That's Mecca in a nutshell for me.
I'm so happy I got to, you know, hear these stories. It was different. I didn't expect it to be like this hectic for you, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was a beautiful, beautiful experience. I'm not gonna lie.
Like, did you like explain these stories to like any of the other guys and stuff like that? Or
not really,
this is also
bro.
Their first time?
This is a way for me to explain it without
having to
tell it to everyone. Wow, you know?
That was nice. That was very nice.
Alhamdulillah, bro, it was amazing. I can't really put it into words
mm-hmm.
like the feeling that you get being there.
I like how you like told the story and then broke it down. Like one, how you feel, and like how like certain ayahs made you feel different about like, what you're experiencing. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Because bro, when you're in the midst of it, when you're actually there. The ayat and the verses
just comes
they
to
hit
you
different.
Yeah.
Especially if Allah allows you to see it a certain way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing. Alhamdulillah, like for me to have seen it as like a sign and you know, Allah, it was amazing. Alhamdulillah, Allah accepted my dua back in Allah accepted my dua the last Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
And wallahi, bro, now I hope you know, I've been making a lot of dua that I get to go several times a year, bro. I can't do a full Ramadan here no more, bro.
Wow.
It's impossible.
I have to experience
it. It's impossible. I have to go there every Ramadan, inshallah.
Inshallah.
I have to. Like, it's not going to hit the same. It's not going to feel the same. Like, imagine you get to this peak.
You know, you get anything to the after pinnacle, that is going to be...
And then it's like, it will never live up to that if I'm out here, you know?
Yo, but, for those of you guys that experienced Umrah and had like a surreal experience like that, like, kind of share your, you know,
your
how stories you? Too, because
you know what's mad, the fact that I don't know if it was the same for you, but there's so many people that I either followed or that I knew that went to Umrah during Ramadan.
Yeah, I seen a lot of snaps. I seen a lot, so many people that were there.
Everyone was there, bro. Even from Edmonton, bro. There was probably like 13. Yeah. You had a group chat. It was like 15 people in a group chat. From Edmonton.
It's probably hard to link up with people, huh? Because it's 2 million people in that.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. If I run into you, I run into you. Because I tried to link up with a lot of different people.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, in you, what we were here for, you know? Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, bro. Imagine like chunks of them were there.
Yeah, I seen
that. You know, so, like, wallahi, bro. I saw a lot of different people had the opportunity to go to Umrah this year. And this is the first time, like, I think the Haram was fully open,
mm-hmm.
where like everyone was allowed to come. It was like the first Ramadan.
Yeah.
So I think everyone had like that itch and they had that longing to go. Mm-hmm. And no, inshallah, next year is going to be even more and more people.
Inshallah, man. I hope things line up so that I can pull it off. Allah.
Bro, you just need one visit.
When, huh?
You just need one visit.
And then it's a yearly thing, huh?
Bro, and you know, sometimes you ask yourself, like, the timing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you wonder, like,
he knows no bounds.
Like, why it was at this time specifically that I got to go. And then you ask yourself also, like we don't truly understand the wisdom behind the decree of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that I would have went to Umrah a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I was, like, 18, 19. But, you know, it wasn't written for me to go.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I learned from that experience there, though, is, wallah, if you have the means, have a little bit of money saved up, just go to Umrah. Wallah, just go. Because the thing is, once you go, the feeling that you're going to get, the experience that you're going to get,
it's priceless.
That's what you're, because now I truly feel like there was other opportunities that I had that I could have went.
But
I was
holding yourself.
I was holding myself back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the things that I was telling myself was, I'm not gonna go to Umrah until I finish paying off my debts.
Mm-hmm.
So I finish off paying off my loans and stuff, mm-hmm. like that. Because I wanted to go with like a clean slate.
Mm-hmm.
When I really think about it,
you're stopping yourself.
That might have been just shaitan just getting into my head and, mm-hmm. wanting to stop me from going there. Because,
yeah.
now that I've experienced that, alhamdulillah. You know, qadar Allahumma shafa'al, and you know, Allah decrees what He wills. But I'm like, man. And now I know what I was missing out on.
Mm-hmm.
But alhamdulillah, inshallah, we don't look back, we look forward.
Mm-hmm.
So inshallah, it's going to be many, many more umrahs to come.
That's so inspiring.
And yeah, bro, if you guys have even a little bit of money, or if you have no money, make the intention to go to umrah. Make dua sincerely and ask Allah to give you the opportunity to go and talk it out Allah and just, bro, book your ticket. Book your ticket. Book it one way if you have to.
Yeah, wallah, that's beautifully said, wallah. Love it. Love to see it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So I can't wait for the Medina episode.
Medina to Nabi. Yeah, Medina is amazing. We're, mm-hmm. going to get to that, inshallah. So, you know, give us your feedback on the comments.
Mm-hmm.
And
leave your recommendations for surahs. We forgot that.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah.
So until next time.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Just say salam right now.
Okay, wait. Let me just get my stretch in. Ooh.